Hey, you know, I just want to touch, bounce off what Chris said and touch a little bit before I get into the message about surrender and the battle of the mind. And this is the real deal. You only surrender to God what you trust God with. And that's an ongoing process because it's a love surrender. When I truly believe that God loves me, in an area of my life that I'm holding on to. Because when you don't surrender, what that means is you're battling God. There's a fight going on here. Who's going to shepherd us? And we're going to be talking about the Good Shepherd today because there is no more intimate statement Jesus makes than I am the Good Shepherd in John 10:11. When he says, I am the Good Shepherd, that means a number of things, but a couple of them are this. One, he knows his sheep. He knows their nature. See, a shepherd that was a good shepherd would know which sheep are afraid of the heights, which sheep won't rest and are sketchy, which sheep will fight because they don't want to leave the sheepfold. They're afraid. Jesus knows what brought the sheep in, because not all of them were in there. They're still not all in there. He knows his sheep, so he knows how to minister to them. A good shepherd is intimate with the sheep. So they begin to trust him. And it always starts with position. When you're in Scripture and you're looking at God's Word, it always starts first with position. God doesn't expect you to act like a sheep of God when you're not a sheep of God. When you're a sheep of some other pen, he does not expect you to act like his. So first thing God does in a person's life is bring them into the family. You know, the natural and the supernatural, they parallel each other. You don't parent your neighbor's kids. Some of us would like to, but we don't parent our neighbor's kids. Why? They're not our children. So you have to have children in order to parent children. So there's the position first. Then there is performance. Then there is the teaching. It's the same thing with God as the Good Shepherd. He knows the nature of his sheep. And Scripture will tell us, as we'll look at a little bit later, he knows their name. He is intimate with them. So the more I walk with God and the longer I've walked with God, I really believe and come to understand that God is my shepherd. We're all looking for shepherds. We're all looking for that. How many of us in here shepherd themselves? You have the worst shepherd around. You were never designed to shepherd yourself. But see, a shepherd was a term that was common to the people in Jesus' day. They understood it as anyone that was an overseer. And their general perspective, whether it was the king, the father in the home, the synagogue teacher, the Pharisees, the religious people, they were all considered shepherds. But when you don't think that that authority figure, that shepherd, has your best interest in mind, you won't surrender a part of you to them. How many of what's the problem with teenagers as they begin? Oftentimes, not in my home, but in other homes, I've seen this issue where kids start to become teens and they start to rebel from their parents' direction because they don't trust that. That going to bed at 10 o'clock thing, I don't think that's a good idea. That having to call in, that staying out, that all the other things. I'm now believing we need to transfer shepherdship here. I need to become more and more my shepherd. And those of us that have grown up with poor shepherd models, we tend to run from them. Run from any shepherd person. Some of us think that if we find the right person, they'll become our shepherd. If I could just find Susie Cream Cheese, if I just find Bob Beautiful, I'd be fine. And I'll hold on. I've had somebody come into my office once and tell me, you know what, all I'm looking for is a good friend. I said, well, what's a good friend? Well, a good friend is someone who will never hurt me, never disappoint me, never do anything that would hurt our relationship. I said, when you find them, I want to be their friend. That is awesome. How's that working for you? I have no friends. And I'm so lonely. But I'm looking. And I'm hoping this church will provide that person. Well, I may as well pop your bubble now. But see, people are great. But people are also people. We only have one shepherd. But before you surrender, because when we say, I surrender all, you don't. I don't. I surrender what I believe God can handle. And I think His way is good in that. But in those areas that I don't, I struggle. Well, God, see, He knows the sheep. He knows who's afraid of the heights. He knows what sheep's afraid of the valley. He knows what sheep get skitchy, scat, different words, bad, uneasy, troubled around water. He knows which sheep don't eat the right grass. You know, sheep, they'll keep going back to bad grass and get sick. It's so weird because we never do that. Sheep are stupid. But sheep, you know, and the Bible doesn't speak bad of sheep at all. They were loving animals. They provided meat, clothing. They were good. They were good. Jesus had a problem oftentimes with shepherds. And one of the big issues in all our lives is shepherds. The people we allowed, or the people, families we were born into, jobs we took, relationships we had, where the shepherd did not have the heart of the sheep they were over. They didn't care about that. The sheep actually were used by them for their benefit. So five times in that chapter of John 10, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Because a good shepherd will do that. He will die for his sheep. He will protect them. And when sheep begin to understand that, they trust the shepherd more. Because, see, Jesus said, we'll look at this, he'll say, I'm the gate for the sheep. That means sheep had lived lives outside his flock. And when they came into his flock, that was a whole different environment. How many know that? How many thought Christians were weird? I'd never be one. And then now you're one. And now all your friends are Christians. You know what they say? Which is kind of detrimental in a way, that the average person who comes into Christianity within 5 years no longer has any non-Christian friends. When they enter into the sheepfold of God, they have no Christian friends, maybe one that led them somewhere. But after a while, it becomes their flock, and it's very hard for them to intermingle. In fact, oftentimes, they think that it's wrong to be with sheep that don't belong to the flock. Well, you know, that's your opportunity to influence them. Some of us have been taught wrongly by shepherds that we don't experience bad things once you get into the sheepfold of God. How many know, by experience, that's not true. But if that's what you've been told, then you will naturally think you're not performing well enough, something's not wrong. You can do things to hurt yourself, for sure. But it's position. When you are with God, and you come into His sheep pen, from that point on, He begins to teach and train you. And it goes smoother the more we trust Him, because He loves us to give us those things, to give Him those things, I meant to say, that normally we try to keep ourselves. And everybody's got them. So when you say today, and we sang today, some of you probably didn't, how many in here are saying, my God, if they sing that verse again? That's you younger Christians that don't understand the shepherd. Oh, then I loved it. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. Anyway, here's the deal. You will give to God as much as you trust in His hands. And the other thing with the shepherd is that He knows you enough that when you are hurt, you can come. I love my youngest one that we're with now. Is Anytime he's hurt, he comes running, and I'm his favorite, but next to my daughter, but auntie, he calls her. But when he's hurt, he'll come over and bury his head in. You know, you seen how a little one does that? They bury their head in your stomach area, and they're just so sad, and you're comforting. That's what the shepherd does. Just because we're his sheep, things aren't going to always go well, and we need to trust the shepherd enough that he knows what he's doing, and also he will comfort us in our grief and pain. That's what a good shepherd does. He's there for us. If you don't think that, if you think you can only approach the shepherd if you're performing well enough, then you'll have a fear aspect of the shepherd, and you won't go near him unless you think you're performing well enough. The problem with that is you perform well, you come in the flock. You don't perform well, you're out of the flock. There's no security. We have great security in the Lord. So when Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd, he was making a statement based on a prophecy given way back in Ezekiel. Many of the miracles that you see in the Gospels weren't only for the benefit of the people that were being touched by the miracles. A lot of them were to show the religious leaders, who were the shepherds of God's flock, that the real shepherd had come. I'm fulfilling everything, as we looked at last week in chapter 9. And if you haven't heard last week's message, you need to hear it, because it puts this all into context. Because everything God does has context. You look at life through context. Your history, your good decisions, your bad decisions, the people you've been around, the shepherds in your life. All of that affects the way you make decisions. God has the same thing. He looks at everything. He knows everything. He makes decisions based on the context that he knows what he's doing. Well, with Jesus, God is called the great I am in the Old Testament in Exodus 3. And Jesus said this about the great I am. Well, Scripture says this about the great I am, that he will be the great I am. My name, the great I am, will be for every generation. Then when Jesus came in the flesh, the angel told Joseph and Mary that you are to give this child the name Jesus. His human name. That's why he's called Son of Man. He is the great I am, but in the flesh, his name is Jesus, God who saves. So Jesus went around in his ministry trying to let them know that he is the one that was prophesied in Ezekiel to be the good shepherd. And this is what happened in Ezekiel 31. The word of the Lord came to me. So the word came to this prophet about 600 years earlier. And the prophet heard this. He says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them. There's two prophecies there. First prophecy is this. Prophesy about what they're like as shepherds now. And then prophesy to them what I'm going to do, the Lord. So he goes, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is what the one who's in charge of everything. See, those areas in my life and in your life that you don't give to God, he's still sovereign over. He is sovereign over your relationships. I can't tell you how many times I pray for people at the altar and they want a relationship with someone. They want it. And their view of a relationship is that I'll be fulfilled if this thing in here happens. So that's their prayer. It's like, you know what? Maybe God isn't ready for you to have that. He's sovereign over that. Why would he bring Tom Terrific into your life when you're, you know, messy Melissa? He loves Tom. He loves you too. So maybe he wants to bring other relationships in to help you, but you push him away because you're looking for that one. But you're really saying, I'm looking for that one shepherd who will love me and take care of me and do all this. It's God's your shepherd. And he's sovereign over these areas. See, I don't have to have God as my shepherd in areas that I'm already being shepherded by him and things are flowing. I was sharing with Chris earlier today. I got my stuff and I've got my losses And I've got my pains I carry, and I have to carry them, and that's just the way it is, and I can go to my shepherd. But see, I don't know what it is to be chronically unemployed. I've been unemployed 3 weeks of my whole life from the time I was 21. I don't know what that's like. I don't know that pain. I don't know that insecurity. I don't know that trouble. I've never been home. I was homeless a few days when Therese left me. I don't know what that. I don't know what prison life is like. I've never been to prison. I don't know what divorce is like. I've never been through that. But I know God shepherds people in all those areas. I don't know what it's like to be separated from my children. I mean, now I do as adults, but I didn't know it as I'm growing up. I haven't experienced all there is to experience. But what I have experienced, I've had to learn to trust God in it as my shepherd. I don't like that two of my kids are gone. I don't like it. But I trust Him. And therefore, I can go to Him. And I can cry in His lap. And He'll comfort me in the midst of that pain. And He'll do the same for you. Doesn't mean He's going to change it all. He's still my Lord. My job is to follow Him. But see, what I have learned is I've learned to trust Him. And my son was great because he died 6 years ago. So I've learned to trust Him in that. And now I have to learn to trust Him in this. But there is a familiarity. And there is a trust factor in there that you can only have when you go through it. I wish God would not do anything that would have hurt any of us. But that's just not the way it is. Because God came to give us the full. And He said, my shepherds need to be able to do that. So He's looking at the shepherds in Ezekiel. And He says, these guys, they don't do what they're supposed to do. He says, listen, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. That's why many of us have run, because He tells us that. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. He says, you shepherds. See, many of us in here have had shepherds in our life that have caused us, because of the way they've acted, to run in rebellion, to run in craziness, and to take off and run and then be eaten by all the stuff of life. And the shepherds that God has for us, His church shepherds, never did anything to help find us. Never did anything to look for us. And in my case, a shepherd of our church molested me and scattered me. I ran. And other members of my family, we ran from that. Because that's what happens when shepherds aren't shepherds. Whether it's a dad in a family, a mom in a family, a work environment, church environment. Shepherds, when they don't care for the flock, hurt the flock. That's why Jesus in 10:10 of John says this. He says, listen, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We oftentimes use that as we're speaking of the devil. But in context, He's speaking of the shepherds who have stolen from the sheep, who slaughter the sheep, who scatter the sheep, who hurt the sheep. Shepherds have a responsibility, and they're held accountable for it. And He says this. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And my sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. And they were scattered over the whole earth. And no one searched or looked for them. Now His sheep there in particular, He's talking about the Israelites, the Jews. That was God's initial sheep pen. And then they were to develop shepherds who would draw in the world. And he says, oh my gosh, instead of doing that, I look from my place in heaven and you scatter them and you slaughter them and you eat them. You know, when a shepherd has a relationship with the sheep that they trust him, they will walk, because sheep serve for food. They will willingly follow the shepherd to their death because they trust the shepherd. That's a heavy-duty deal. Jesus willingly went to the cross because he trusted his dad, the shepherd. When you don't trust the shepherd, and it's a love thing, you will not follow that shepherd in the area that you don't trust him in. And if you believe they're there to hurt, scatter, and destroy and abuse, you will run. And then you know what you do? Jesus is talking about these sheep. You know what they do? They wander the hills of life looking for a shepherd. That's what many of us have done for many, many years. We've wandered the hills of life looking for a shepherd, trying to be our own shepherd, hanging out with other sheep just so that we have a flock, but we have still no shepherd. We're just running with a flock now. And we're getting picked off because sheep don't do well out in the mountains. They become food for the other beast. He says, listen, I am against, verse 10, I am against the shepherds. Oh no, let me go back up a couple verses. Verse 7, he says this, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I'm telling you what I see, my first prophecy, speaking the truth of what I see. Then he says, this is the second one. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, has been food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I myself will come down and be their shepherd. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my flock, my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. When they found that time in their lives when it was cloudy and dark and they didn't know where to go, they were scattered. He says, I will find them from that day. I know what darkness drove them to run. I know what clouds hung over them. I will search them out. This is what I will do. So bringing us up 600 years to John chapter 10, which is preceded by John chapter 9, which I talked about, Jesus demonstrated that he was that shepherd by fulfilling a number of the messianic prophecies of healing the blind. One of the proofs that you would know that the shepherd from God came was the blind would be healed. So Jesus chooses the occasion, as I shared with you guys last week, of the Feast of the Tabernacles, where there's hundreds of thousands of people at Jerusalem. And he's walking around and he sees this blind dude, and he's blind from birth, and he heals him. Then the guy goes to the Pharisees and they put him down for being healed on the Sabbath, because that was a day of rest, because they would rather have rules than care for the people. Why? Because they wanted the people to think they were the shepherds. What they forgot is they were sheep too. Whenever a leader forgets that they're a sheep also, that's where problems start to take place. Whenever a parent forgets that they're fallible human beings too, and their kids don't ever see them make mistakes and own them or deal with them, when they don't see mom and dad ever have a conflict and resolve it, they never learn how to resolve conflicts. They learn how to stuff it. When they see families split up like so many of our families in this day and age does, because they don't get along, they don't know how to do life together, they don't have the skill set, they don't have the tools, they are unwilling to get them, unable, and they look for greener pastures. Because see, we're trying to shepherd ourselves. Whenever we're running from something, we're looking for a greener pasture. We're looking for what we think will feed us well and help us. But when God tells us to sit still, that's hard. How many's hardest time is being alone? I know people that cannot stand to be alone. Why? Because then they start thinking. We're going through it right now. And when we're alone and Teresa's, we got the kids over to somebody's house, which we're available to do that every day of the week, if just throwing that out there. but mainly when they go to their auntie's house for a night, a week, we immediately, our minds start running about our daughter. And all that goes around that. And we start spiraling. And so we're having to learn to compartmentalize and deal with that while dealing with, you know, the life that's been handed to us. And in the meantime, running to the shepherd to help us. Running to the shepherd to guide and direct us. And I'm just sharing that because this is my stuff. You got your stuff. So I get to get up here and share it with you because I get to. But you have to still do the same thing in your stuff. And we need sheep around us that can hear our story and be with us. Because how many know there's some sheep in the pen? They're not that tip on you. Find other sheep. And you don't have the skills to deal with everything in life by yourself. That would make you your own shepherd. The shepherd knew the terrain. The shepherd knew what was good for the sheep. The shepherd knows what is best. The sheep don't. They have to learn. So we're going to face many things as sheep in life where we don't know how to do this. Oh, we need older sheep in our lives who have been more experienced, but we also need the shepherd. Once you think you know it all and you got it all and you've gotten yourself this far, you're heading for a downfall. Because you're going to run into stuff that is beyond you. And sometimes in our messed up thinking, we think nothing should be beyond us. That's a problem. So after this guy gets healed, and the crazy thing about this story is after this guy gets healed, he goes and tells the religious leaders, and because he said Jesus did it, and he believed in this guy Jesus, that he had some power and he must be from God, they kick him out of the synagogue. Here's a guy that's been blind his whole life, so at best, he's on the fringe of life with all the other Jews. He gets his eyesight. He can now be part of them. Finally, I can be a part of this, and they boot him out. Now, he's got to be thinking, what is worse? Me being blind and at least they say hi? Or throw me a ducat or two, or being able to see and nobody will talk to me. This following Jesus is really all it's cranked up to be. So then Jesus goes and finds him. As I shared with you guys before, Jesus went and found him, and he said, "You looking for the Messiah?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm he, the one who's standing before you is him." And he goes, "I'm in." Jesus said, "Come on in." Now Jesus turns immediately after that and looks at the shepherds because they've been following him. They've been watching him. And he's in front of normal people. He's in front of the religious guys, and picture them with all their gear on. This is their time to shine. They've been eating at the best places. They've been hanging around the right people. They've been politically hobnobbing with those people. This, a major feast, is their time to show their holiness. They're looking good. They're doing their thing, and he looks at them. And he starts out verse 10, or chapter 10 with this. He said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know him, and they know he cares for them. He says that's the way it works in a sheep pen. Everybody got it, too, because everybody was familiar with that back in the day. Sheep pen was an enclosure. Oftentimes, numerous flocks would come into the sheepfold, and one guy would actually be the gatekeeper. He'd be the one at the gate. So anybody trying to get in the sheep pen outside of that gate that he stood guard at was not there for the sheep's sake, was there to harm the sheep. So Jesus is giving them this picture that they understand. He says, but they will never follow a stranger. You know, one of the blessings in many of your lives, you've wondered, why did I follow this stuff? Why did I go? Why did I run away? Why did I do this? Because it was a strange voice to you, and you didn't follow it. You didn't know where to run, but you knew this stranger thing wasn't for you. How many thought there were shepherds, and after a while, that voice became a problem to you? That voice was no longer a shepherd to you. It was something to stay away from. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So he said, listen, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. That is not for me. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. They didn't know that he was, what's the point of this story, basically? And get the picture. They're all looking at him in their stuff. They're on their stage. They're in their element. They are the kings of the court. Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. See, that's highly offensive to those guys because they consider themselves the gatekeepers. They consider themselves the ones who let people into the flock of God and who keep other people out of the flock of God. Here's what Jesus said about their gatekeeping a little bit later in Matthew. He says, woe to you in Matthew 23:13. He says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You think you're the gatekeeper? You shut the door in their face so they can't get in. Not only that, he says, you're not even in. You're on the outside of the sheep pen. You think you're the gate. I'm telling you, I'm the gate for the sheep. They come in and they will hear my voice because I will go look for them. I will find them. And he says this about them. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who are trying to enter. In verse 15, he says this about those guys. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, which means woe means you're in deep trouble. You hypocrites. He says, not only do you not let them in the gate, you travel everywhere to find one. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. That's heavy. He goes, you don't let him in the pen. You put him in the devil's pen. You make them worse than you. And you have to go find them to do it. You run them down. That is a heavy thing. Jesus says this in verse 8 of John. We'll go back to verse 10, verse 8. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. They're robbing you. They're acting like they're sheep. Now he's looking at these dudes saying these things. They're beginning to get the picture here. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, will be healed. I am the one that lets them in to the sheep pen of God. And I will shepherd them. And then once they're in, then I begin to teach them. Then they begin to learn to listen to my voice. They listen with trust. That's the process. It's one thing to hear God's voice. It's another thing to walk in obedience because you trust him. That's where I'm at today. I trust him. I don't like it, most of it at all. But I trust him. I trust that he knows what he's doing. He's my shepherd. And when I look back on my life, I can see where I've trusted him with things. He's done me good. Other parts that don't seem good, I just haven't got to the end yet. That in no way alleviates the pain. That enables me and shows me that, in the worst thing a parent can visualize happening, me and God are still good. We're still good. I trust him, you know. Hey, I don't know, you know. I'm just saying for me, it showed me. I learned about me. And I'm continuing to learn about Therese. My heart's broken. She can't pick hers off the ground. So, and she still trusts and believes. But she is wounded. I don't know, there's something about a mom. You know, dads love kids, and I do love my kids. I do love them. But moms and children, there's something there that is, you know, I think it has to do with carrying the baby. I think there has to be, you know, that there is just something there. And so it's, she inspires me. But she's hanging on to the shepherd too. And the shepherd knows when, see, the shepherd knows when you're crippled too. One of the cool things that we'll see here, if I get to it, is that he says the shepherds will come, the sheep will come and go. And it says he calls them by their, well, let me see if I can just read it to you. I am, verse 14. He says, he complains about those guys again in verse 11, but so we know pretty much they're jerks. They're problems. They were problems back then. Shepherds can still be problems now. You know, then in just 20 years ago, being a pastor was like one of the number one, two, or three most respected professions in America. Now it's not even in the top 15. Why? Because people have seen shepherds, what they've done. These shepherds that are supposed to be watching out for the sheep have done all the things Jesus said. And so they've lost their place, and therefore they lose their influence. And not only for the sheep, but for the sheep outside the pen. They look at these people that believe in God and go, wow, I don't want to follow any of that. Those guys are as corrupt as everybody else. That's why we got to share Jesus. You know, because he is the shepherd of our souls. But he says this in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. He says this in John verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this pen, and I must bring them also. They also will listen to my voice and shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, the verse I didn't read to you, and I can't recall it off the top of my head, but it's in there, so you'll have to read 10 yourselves, and I know you all brought your Bible, so you probably already read it, but that dig you a little bit, huh? But he says this, I open the gate for my sheep, paraphrasing, I open the gate for my sheep, and I wait till they're all out. Then I go in front of them and lead them. Now, I was thinking, you know what? It's so funny because some of God's sheep are like this. First one out! First one out, I'm better. I got it going on. Beat everybody again 17 days in a row. But the problem with that thinking is you ain't going no place. He's waiting for everybody else to come out. Then he goes in front and leads. You know, sometimes when we think we got our act together and we're, you know, we're God's amen, a woman, he goes, you're a woman and a man. I'll give you that. But I'm going to, you know, if you're the first out, help the others. Oh, you run fast. It ain't about running fast. It's about following where the Lord goes. It's about stopping where he stops. It's about surrendering. If you want to go that way, and he says, go this way. Yeah, but I really want to go. I think that's a good way right there. Yeah, yeah, we're going this way. Because this way I'm taking you. And this way you're going to learn to die to yourself. Because when you, the more Joe gets out of the way, the better it is for all of us. The more you get out of your way, the better it is for everybody. And he says, and we're going to start in your immediate circle. We'll start there. See, I think God must think I parent really good little kids. Because this is the third try at it. I thought I was going to retire. Remember, I've said it to you guys probably a dozen times in the last number of years. Like, what am I going to do for retirement? You're not going to do nothing, Joe. You're not retiring, dude. When you're 85, the little guy gets out of college, okay? That's if I let you live that long. It's like, what kind of plan is that? But here's the thing. We can talk among ourselves. What do you think he's doing? Just keep marching and following him. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where we're going. But we keep marching. We keep going. Because that's, what other options do we have? Shepherd yourselves? Done that. Look for somebody to shepherd me? Problem. We're all sheep. We all get to benefit one another. And this is the thing. The shepherd leads us to eternal life. I know as a sheep of God, I am marching, and so are you, through this life into eternal life. We oftentimes, and I'll tell you what, I am so far ahead of that game right now. I get it, life is short. I get it, no one's promised tomorrow. I get all I have is today. I get that I need to walk with God today. I get that I need to be responsible for what I need to be responsible for today. I get it like I've never gotten it before. And I thought I had a pretty good handle on it. We are marching to eternal life. At some point, our march changes, but God shepherding us never does. He's still our shepherd in heaven, which means or implies that God is still going to be teaching and leading and guiding. We're still going to be growing in multiple different ways forever. And his plan is good. And he's promised to take care of us in this life. And he's promised. So those words that Chris was saying are true. We need to speak his word to our lives. Mainly because I need to hear it. This is not the end. I need to hear and remind myself and remind my wife, Sarah's good. Sarah's good. She's okay. She's in a great place. It's not the end. It's not the end. And we also need to cry, just like you guys. Because I'll tell you what, very rarely does your life ever turn out like you planned it. Some of us are going, cool, I've never planned nothing, and that's... So it's all new to me. But some of us have tried to plan things, and you know what? It never goes that way. Because you're not the shepherd of your life. You're the sheep who follows the shepherd. And if you're blessed, and God considers making you an under-shepherd too of something, family, job, employer, some other level, because your first job is you shepherd yourself in the sense of following God. Speak truth to you so that your words align with God's words. When God is speaking one thing and I'm speaking another, that's a problem. I need to speak the same language. He works everything for good. You got to hold on to that when everything doesn't look good. You got to hold on to obedience is better than sacrifice when you feel like I should sacrifice. Oh God, if I just did this better. You know, just obey what you know. God never asks you to obey what you don't know. He asks you to obey what you know. So whatever you're in right now, See, right now, I have to obey being responsible for three little kids. I'm responsible for them. Teresa and I were talking to each other the other day and said, oh my God, we're responsible for these three little lives. We're responsible. So what do I need to do? I need to be responsible. I need to take care of stuff. I need to provide. I need to do what I need to do. Why? Because that's what I need to do. You need to do what you need to do because that's what you need to do. Isn't that weird? How many of us thought that was like weird when we were, what? I want to do what I feel like doing. That's part of the problem. I don't feel like it always. Do you? But I've learned, feelings, good. Horrible shepherds. Horrible shepherds. Controlling other people, horrible shepherds, boys. Just walk the walk. Jesus said, listen, I'm your shepherd. I will lead you in to the pen, and I will let you out of the pen. That means, see, this is part of the problem some of us have, and I'm going to close here. Probably not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I will once the, Teresa isn't here to tell the meat joke. That was a waste of 15 seconds. Okay, some of us think, or did think, when we get into the fold of God, when we get into the sheep pen of God, it's boring. We never get out. We walk around like this all day. It's another Bible study. It's, you know, we have this vain imaginations of what it is. No, that's not at all. God says you will come into the sheep pen and you will go out. He's leading you somewhere out there. He's leading you that. Your job is to follow him there. Because some of us sitting here today, so thankful I'm in the sheep pen, I will never leave. I'm pitching a tent right here. I'm going to have camp out right there. And it's like, no, you're not. You will find rest and you will find going. And it will be a full life. Jesus said, I've come to give them fullness of life. Incorporate it all. So that's glory, pain, sorrow, joy. Ups, downs. Why? So we can show mercy. Love is merciful. Love is merciful. I know how to comfort because I've been in pain. And I've been comforted. I know what it's like to carry a burden and you're not getting out of it. There are people today sitting in here that you've asked God a long time. Can we stand? We're going to pray. That you've asked God a long time to do some changes, to make something different, to do this or that. See, and you're not really surrendering it to God. You're asking him to do something about it and the way you want it done. Surrender is, if I've got to carry this the rest of my life, so be it. That's surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. I can pray and ask God to do it, but in the meantime, if I gotta carry it, I carry it. The trick is carry it well. Because I can carry it two different ways. I can bash everybody with it. Look what I gotta carry! If I'm suffering, we all are. Or we can carry it with nobility. I'm carrying this and it's hard. But it's my burden. And I think I might be able to take a little bit of yours on it too. Can I help you with something? And that's what we get to do in community. That's the importance of the flock. Woe to the man or woman who has no one to help them carry when they can't carry. Because you will have those times. But when you have community around you, you can carry. So I want you to just close your eyes and think for a minute. One, what have I not surrendered to God? And part of that surrendering means, so be it. God, I've asked you to take this away. God, I've asked you to change this circumstance. God, I've asked you to do this, but you haven't done it. But I surrender it to you, so I'll carry it. And Lord, I'll speak life into it. I will carry it well. I've been Debbie Downer too much. I'm not a victim. I'm a servant of the King. And if this is the terrain I have to climb, if it's the terrain I walk in, then I walk in it. If I need help in this terrain, I will ask for it. If I have to carry this issue that I've struggled with up to this point in my life, if I have to struggle with this issue the rest of my life, then so be it. Make me a good struggler with it. Make me an overcomer. If I'm a judger and I judge myself ruthlessly, God, make me an uplifter and encourager, starting with myself. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, God. Is God showing you anything that you need to surrender? And if you got to carry it, you got to carry it. Quit asking Him to change it. Just, hey, God, you know what I want changed. And if you're not going to change it, then help me to carry it. Help me to carry it well. How many want to do that? All right, so Lord God, we just give this to you this morning. Father, we thank you that we don't have to carry alone, that you are the good shepherd. You will help us. I thank you, God, that you know us. You know our name. You know our nature. You know where we're strong. You know where we're weak. But God, we rejoice that we are part of your flock, that we are sheep of the great shepherd. That you are the shepherd of our souls. You're the shepherd of our lives. So God, as your sheep and the terrain you have me marching on, I will follow to the best of my ability, and I'll stay close to the shepherd in my pain and in my gain. I'll stay close to the shepherd. And all those who agree, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great day.